I have to admit, I have really never read this psalm or preached on it ever. I'm amazed at how little I know of the Bible, and I'm excited to learn more and to get into the Bible more and more. And one of the reasons that I came in touch with this psalm is because it's written in the lectionary. It's provided in the lectionary by people who put these kind of scriptures together for us to pay attention to, particularly at different times of the year. And this psalm is in the lectionary for the week of Thanksgiving. So it draws, you know, these fathers or whoever it was that put together the lectionary have done us a great service in pointing us in the direction of scriptures that will help us to appreciate the times that we're in and the holidays that we celebrate and throughout the year. And we're going to be doing one today for Thanksgiving and then going into Advent, which starts the first Sunday in December up until Christmas Day. And there's scripture readings that will lead us into that season. And that's really what I base, you know, my sermons on for the most part. Occasionally I don't, but this week we are doing that. And you can also read every day. Like Susan mentioned, we're reading through Judges, and some of the scriptures that we read are not as uplifting as this one because they deal with the sinfulness of mankind and the need for judges because people are stubborn and don't want to obey God and things like that. But today is a day that is reserved for Thanksgiving, so you can take a deep breath of happiness and thanks today as we look at this beautiful, beautiful psalm that God has provided for us. It says to the choir master, a psalm of David, a song. There's usually a title before psalms, and this one is to the choir master. I guess it would mean make a song out of this, you know, and sing it. Here's this beautiful text. I want you to do something with it. David probably made up some songs and melodies of his own as he played the harp and was in the field spending a lot of time with sheep and praising God in that way. And he developed his skills that way. An amazing person. Anyway, I know that the women of grace were talking about David yesterday. And here is one of his other gifts, which was to write music and songs. And they were thanksgiving to God. They were sometimes the Psalms were a man who was searching for God and toiling over the worries that he had and coming before God, pouring out his soul to God. So if you really want to learn how to write a song, you can read the Psalms and it'll help you. So this one was composed on the occasion of an abundant harvest. Okay, so this was composed at a time of abundant harvest and was intended to be sung as a hymn of thanksgiving by the whole congregation gathered before God in Zion. And we believe that would be, you know, Jerusalem. So it's a place where people would gather together as a congregation. And so it's fitting all of you are here together as a congregation. We're not singing it, but we're singing songs that are inspired by God's word to sing together. But this one really gives us a chance to sing along with the words, the melodies that God puts into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. It's written that it seems that verses 7 and 8 would explain that it would be a time when there was great political unrest, the shaking of nations in the midst of which God had manifested his goodness to his people. This is a time of unrest. And so it's fitting that we read this psalm today. God's protecting love and care are evident in this psalm. His protecting love and care. The hearer of prayer, as David refers to God, had heard the prayers of his people when they met to confess their sins and to make known their need before him. And now it is fitting that they should gather within his courts there to thank him for his mercy and to show forth all of his praise. So we come together today to give thanks to God for his mercy and for his grace. Amen. That is why we come together at Thanksgiving, to show our thankfulness to him and our praise for his mercy and to show forth his praise. You have a little outline. I don't know if everybody got a copy of it, but there's 20 of them. I don't know how many are here today, but if you have one, you can share it with someone who doesn't. And just briefly, we'll look at this. Psalm 65, the outline. Verses 1 to 4 are an expression of the thoughts and feelings with which the congregation may fitly approach God now that they come to thank him for his goodness. These are expression of thoughts and feelings the congregation would approach God with, coming in thanks for his goodness. 5 through 8 are a celebration of the mighty acts of Jehovah, both in the world of nature and among the nations, so that his name is known and acknowledged to the ends of the earth. And then 9 through 13 are a special thanksgiving, which is called forth by the refreshing rain which God has sent, and the rich and glorious harvest, which is already waving and ripening before their eyes. This outline was provided by a man named Peron. He has a beautiful, beautiful writing about the Psalms that I turn to many times, and it's in my office if you want to use it. So let's open up to the Psalm. May open up your Bibles to Psalm 65, and we'll go through this psalm together, okay? It begins, fittingly, praise is due to you, O God in Zion. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion. There's another version of this, there's another translation, it's interesting, that says, for thee praise waits, O God in Zion. For you, praise waits in Zion. It's a beautiful way of saying, Lord, we are going to give your due, give you your due. We are going to be praising you, Lord. And from my understanding in the Hebrew, there's a sense of both silent praise and also very exuberant kind of proclaiming praise to God. But praise is due. You deserve praise, God. You have done great things, right? And then it says, to you shall vows be performed. To you shall vows be performed. And to pay a vow signifies that people owed God their praise. They prayed for something, and in praying for it, they vowed to give him the glory. Then, when he answered their prayer, they were by duty bound to go to the sanctuary and fulfill their vows by offering their praise. Right? So I would say, if we apply that to our own lives, every week we have a lot of reasons to come here to praise God. Right? On Sunday. I mean, if you need a reason, you're going to hear a lot of them today. And a good reminder for us to have those. But every Sunday, we have a duty, right? Because God is deserving and due praise for what the great things that he has done, right? He has answered our prayers. He has done all these things, and our vows are to be performed in worship of his name, dutifully, as a congregation of God. Right? Now he goes on in verse 2, O you who hear prayer. I love this verse because it always reminds me that God hears our prayers and answers them. Because in that word, to hear them doesn't merely mean that he hears them as we hear something, but that he answers them is also meant in that word. He hears our prayers. Right? It would be much different if he were merely to hear them but not respond. But we have a God who hears our prayers, and it is known, he is known as the hearer of prayer. Wouldn't it be nice to go to someone and say, do you know the hearer of prayer? Can I tell you about him? And you know how I know? Because he answered my prayers this week in my life, right? Oh, you, so David speaks to God in this way. You who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. Why? Because people come because they know that he answers. He hears them. He answers them. He cares for them. He loves them. That's why people come to him, right? If he didn't, they wouldn't come, right? It makes sense. To you shall all flesh come. And so this opens up all of the pathways for people throughout all of the universe to hear God, to come to God, to pray to God, to be heard by God, to be the recipients of the answers to their prayers and the things that he says. Remember that God answers you. You may be waiting a long time and you may be praying for the same thing over and over and over again, but he hears you. And many times your prayer has been answered, but the answer comes in his timing. Never give up praying to God. Never give up and always believe that your prayer has been heard. It's right here. And if you need to remind yourself, read this psalm. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Now, atonement describes the work of God by which sin is purged, removed, and the person who is repentant of their sins is placed in a beautiful relationship with God. Right? The atonement purges, removes sin, and brings us together in a beautiful relationship with God. If you want to know how to describe atonement to someone, this is the way, right? Removes our sins and you've brought together in a beautiful relationship with God. It's because of his great atonement for our transgressions, right? There's a man that I read this week. His name is Weiser in German. It's Weiser. But he wrote some of the most inspiring, beautiful things about this passage here I've read in a long time. I mean, it just blew me away. I wish I could read you all of it. But let me just share a thought. It's very poignant, very important to understand what we just read here. The first thought, he says, that comes into the psalmist's mind under the impression of the blessed goodness of God and that points to a firmly established tradition is that of man's sinfulness. The forgiveness of sins is the prerequisite of a true relationship with God. In it, in God's grace, all the blessings of salvation are included as well. So the thankful heart and the thanksgiving that comes, that is coming in the latter part of this psalm, is first of all found in confession of our sins and receiving forgiveness of our sins. That establishes thankfulness. It begins there to understand that we have sinned and God forgives us. That is the beginning of a thankful heart. That is the ground upon which thankfulness is built. That is the foundation. It is God in his great mercy and love, just like the little girl who wet her bed and was waiting to be crushed and to be made fun of and outcast, and yet was in that whole circle of grace of her aunt. That is the way God acts when we come to him. And that brought about a heart no longer filled with fear of being an outcast or being made fun of, but being received in love and embraced and being given dignity. And that is what God gives to you and me, brothers and sisters. That is what God does. He restores our dignity. You are a child of mine. You are my child. I love you and I gave my life for you. Remember that. You can always come to me. Always come to me. I am the hearer of prayer. I answer prayers. I want to hear from you. I want to give you myself and everything that I have. It's abounding grace, and that is the foundation of thankfulness. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You love me. I'm not an outcast. I'm not going to be kicked aside. I'm not going to be lost. I'm not going to die in my sin. I've got a future. No matter what anybody else says, they can say whatever they want to me, but I know that you love me. That is the foundation of me, brothers and sisters. John Maxim, having that sense, knowing it when I was deep in sin in my life and darkness of my room, and knowing that I was in the presence of love. And I knew it because he answered my prayer. And it's been that way ever since. All of my failures, all of my shortcomings, all of the things, I never lost sight of it because God reminded me over and over again in his word, you are important to me. Never forget it. And the only thing I can say is praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near. On the Wednesday night prayer meeting and the Bible study last week during the prayer time, a sister said, God, thank you for choosing such one as me. Thank you for showing mercy and grace toward me, such a one as me. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. It was said with such humbleness and understanding of this person. It touched all of our hearts to hear that. Blessed is the one that you choose and bring near. Why? Because they have received the grace of God. Not because we are good in ourselves. No, because God is good. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near. Look at it. God is pulling us into himself to dwell in your courts, to dwell in your presence, to be in the presence of Almighty God. And that changes us from people that are not thankful to people that are thankful. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house. The goodness of your house. That is the great description of God here. The goodness of his house. The goodness of his presence. The goodness of God. The holiness of your temple. A holy God. God is righteous. He's dependable. He's filled with goodness, and there isn't any sin at all found in him. He's without any kind of, I shouldn't even say that about him because it shouldn't be, he is so holy that he deserves and is due praise alone. He's not to be compared with human beings. And this satisfied, there was a man named Delitzsch, and he wrote this: for all that God's grace offers us, we can give no better thanks than that we hunger and thirst after it, that we hunger and thirst after grace, and that the poor empty soul be satisfied therewith. There's no better thanks that we can give than to hunger and thirst after God's grace. That is thanksgiving. That is thanksgiving. It's not saying thank you for all this food and we're going to eat it now. That's good. It's really good. But it's only that much of what we're talking about and what God is calling us to today. God is calling us to greater things. He's calling us to greater things because he is greater than anything. And he calls us in. And we hear this message of his salvation and love and grace when we're undeserving of it and deserving of shame. And he takes it away from us and he frees us up and he says, let me show you what you're going to get now. And that's exactly what this guy does, David, in this psalm. He opens it up by preparing the way by saying, a thankful heart begins by understanding that you are saved by grace, not by works. And that's one of the things that I want to say to you today. If you think that your worth is based on works, think again. You have misunderstood the Bible. You've misunderstood God. It is not by your own efforts. It's not by how much you do in this life. It is by grace that we have been saved, through faith. Let go of your conceptions. I got to work harder. I got to get a good feeling about myself than when I put in more work. Forget it. It's all about grace. God wants us to do things, but our worth is not based on them. It's based on His love and His grace and forgiveness. What a relief. What an amazing opportunity to give thanks. Thank you, God. I don't have to work so hard and feel like I have to kill myself so that I have some kind of a worth in myself. It's all found in You. What an amazing God. Let go of the idea of works brings you salvation or gives you a feeling of great fulfillment. Our fulfillment is found in God and in serving Him with gladness. The next part comes right after this with reason. It's a hymn, right? And if you look at your outline, right, the next section, a celebration. We've been saved. Now a celebration. The mighty acts of Jehovah, both in the world of nature and among the nations, so that His name is known and acknowledged to the ends of the earth. By awesome deeds You answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation. Here's another name, the character of God, our God of salvation. The hearer of prayer. Everybody say it. The hearer of prayer. The God of our salvation. Hear it. The God of our salvation. He hears our prayers. He saves us from our sins. He is the God of our salvation. That is who He is. Amen? And it gets better. The hope of all the ends of the earth. The God of our salvation, the hearer of prayer, the hope of all the ends of the earth, of the farthest seas, it goes forever. And people today get gods and they make idols out of their hands just like they did back in the days of the Old Testament. They make these shapes and they bow down to them, and you're going to believe that that is going to make a difference in the world? No, God says, I am a God that is reaching out into all of the ends of the earth. I am the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. That is David's conviction of God. Why? Because God has taken away his sin. And with all that sin goes away all hopelessness, and it's filled with salvation and filled with hope. He is the one who by his strength established the mountains. The Rocky Mountains. You ever been there? You look up at them and you think, wow, look at that. I had a friend, John Lynn, who told me that his family went out there and was driving into Yellowstone Park, and they broke out in How Great Thou Art in the family car. That is the reaction that is deserving. That is what we're talking about. God is due our praise. We see something, we go outside, we see it, we're like, wow, look at that. God be praised. He is due the praise. Why? Because it comes from his hand. By his strength he established the mountains, being girded with might. This all comes from a repentant and forgiven heart that has understood what thanksgiving is all about. Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Stills them. The hope of the world, the hope in all this chaos that's going on around us. He is the hope of the world. He is the salvation of the world. He is the one who stills the roaring of the seas. Do you see that? David is saying, on the one hand, he's powerful. He makes these mountains that bring awe, and we look at them and they're like massive and stationary and sure. And they're there because God has put them there. He established them, but then he stills the roaring of the seas. The seas have waves in them, and they make sound, and they're pounding, and there's storms that sometimes pound them. And what does he do? He stills them. Does that bring Jesus into your mind? Who stilled them? Who is this? Who can mention words and tell the ocean and the storm to be still? Only one. The creator of this world. The Son of God. And he, not only that, but he stills the tumult, the chaos, the unrest of people. Do you have tumult in your life? God is telling you today that he stills those tumults. And why do you believe it? He's the hearer of prayer. He's the God of our salvation. He's the hope of all the ends of the earth, and he's your hope today. And if you want to talk to me more about how he's done that in my life and shown me that in my life, I'll make time for you. Anytime. So that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. These things, these mountains and the oceans and all the things that we see are here for the purpose of helping us to be in awe of him, be reverent toward him, to respect him, to give our lives to serving him, to praising him, to obeying him, to living for him. There isn't any other way to do it. There's no other way to be a Christian. There's no way to be a Christian in this church by doing things half-heartedly. When we read things like this, man, it is amazing! You can't be half in. Why, how could you be? How can you say, I don't have time? How could you do that? I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm saying, how can we not want to do more? How can we ever say no when God calls us? He's the maker of the universe. We're going to meet him one day, the one who created everything that gave you life, right? This week of Thanksgiving is one of being gripped by the power of the grace of God and reacting in such a thankfulness that we're ready to do whatever he says. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. And this introduces rejoicing and joy. Joy. Right? Joy is ours. It's not something that's, when I think about joy, it's so elusive and so hard to gain. No, it's not. It's right here. It's right here in God's word, right? You can make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. Every day is a chance and an opportunity for us to experience God's joy because he says it right here. In this last part here, it gets even better. There's a special thanksgiving. A special thanksgiving. This is going to be a special thanksgiving. You visit the earth. Take that in. You visit the earth. David says it. You visit the earth. Who does it remind you of? Jesus. You visit the earth. You come. You're here among us, right? You visit the earth and water it, refreshing rain. You bring powerful waters. What does it remind you of? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming in this rain, pouring down, filling our lives with the power of God in this Holy Spirit. He casts away all of our fears. He takes away all the things that we're being dragged down by. He takes away hopelessness. He takes away death. And he restores us to life. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. You enrich the earth. The river of God is full of water. Listen to that. The river of God is full of water, right? For you provide their grain for so you have prepared it. God has prepared the things in this world that are abundant, that the things that we eat, the things that we drink, the things that we have to sustain us are all at his hands. He prepares it, right? You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. David cannot write this of his own power, I'm telling you. He cannot. This is a man possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's someone who has an encounter with God. It's someone who's been changed in his life. And he gave it all to him. And he writes it down here for you and for me to be able to learn this today, to see we have to understand what we're dealing with here today. This is not the same Thanksgiving as last year. This is something more. It's a special Thanksgiving. And David is writing these special words in here, and it's coming into our hearts and coming into our church today to fill it, to tell us the abundance of God's goodness in power and in softness, the softening of showers, blessing its growth. He blesses our growth in our lives. He blesses the things that we use as our resources. They're a blessing of God. They're not from Amazon, okay? It's not from Amazon, although you might think so. They have very big warehouses, but they're not what God uses, okay? I'm only half kidding. I mean, we're under this kind of what happens slowly is you start to think that it's all of these other things that we order from and they come magically to our doors and we have all these great things and it's like, wow, it's so cheap, you know, and we can just order more and more stuff and we can have all these things and it's so easy. And meanwhile, people are dying in the world. So it's, you know, God is gently telling us, You gotta look around. You have to come to your senses. You need to understand what life is about. You got a job because I gave you that job. You have a house because I gave you that house. You have a family because I gave you that family. You have everything because of me. So dutifully come and give worship and praise to the one who has given you everything. And begin to think about it, the talents that you have. And one day you're going to meet the great God who gave you those things, and you're going to say, Lord, praise your name. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. This is not poetry. This is a man's heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is an outpouring of God's abundant joy in his life, and it all starts because of his salvation from his sins. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Everything is joyful. Are you joyful? How's your life, right? This is what God's calling us to, right? I mean, I have to say the same to myself too, right? It's fine to be able to get up and talk about these things and things like that, but in the reality, when we go out the doors, it's like, okay, we're hit with all these people that want something from us, and life is hard, and all these different kind of things that we face, but God goes right through those doors with you. Don't forget it. And he is not going to leave you in that kind of a despair. That isn't what you're made for. You're made for joy and rejoicing in him. And don't ever believe any lies that tell you otherwise. Your life can be changed in an instant, and it begins with Jesus, and it changed David, and it's the message for us today at this Thanksgiving. This is not just like any other Thanksgiving. This is not just like any other Thanksgiving. It's about people's lives being transformed. I went to visit Peter Moy in prison yesterday. He came out. Do you know what he did when he first saw me? He grabbed my hands. He sat down next to me and he said, let's pray. Amen? I don't remember Peter doing that with me before. But God took that situation that he's in and he's making it into something good. And the reason is because Peter has come to the place where he's saying, I have sinned against God, and he has forgiven me with his grace. And now he sits down next to me, and instead of the pastor saying, let's pray, he says, let's pray, pastor. There's nothing that could be more emotional or much more joyful to hear than that. So how about us? We who are not in prison. We who have the freedom to do whatever it is that we want to do in this world, right? We can go out in the street. We can go out to the store. We can have good times with family. We can do all these different things. Shouldn't we take that to heart, that God is making a difference in his life, and he's saying, let's sit down and pray together. Let's say that to one another. Hey, how you doing? Let's sit down and let's pray. Let's grab hands and pray. What a blessing, man. It's the same thing that with David here. It's you and me having those kind of moments where we don't care about all the problems that we're facing because Jesus is too great. And there's nothing he can't do. So I just want to share a few things here. God provides these blessings for which we are thankful. A guy named Alan Ross wrote this, and I just want to, it's kind of like a summary of what we've been going through. God provides these blessings for which we are thankful. First, the atonement for sin. Amen? The atonement for sin. Everybody understand what atonement is? Our sins are purged, they're wiped away, and we're restored to a relationship, a beautiful relationship with God. That is a blessing for which we are thankful today, and that has to be the most important one on Thanksgiving. If you say a prayer at Thanksgiving, before you thank God for the food you're about to eat, thank him for his atonement. Thank you for saving my life. The second blessing that God gives, and he shows through this, through that atonement, is peace. Peace with God. Peace that transcends understanding, that is greater than a peace that is attempted in this world between peoples, but continually fails because it's not based upon the glory of God. It's not based upon the truths of the Bible. Peace in the world. Bounty from the earth. Bounty from the earth. Bounty. Abundance. Huge. Whatever word you can find that is going to say how great God is. That is what is found in this scripture for us today. The blessings. Joy. And each of these blessings are a result of answers to prayer, and each should form the content of our praise. Praise God for the atonement of sin. Thank you. Praise God for the peace that he gives. Thank God. Praise God for his bounty of blessing for those who believe in him. Let me just read you a few words here. These are not my own, but I think they're just so good to bring things together as we come to the end of this time. Even though the people of God have received these blessings, they have not received the fullness of them. The prophets and the psalmists anticipated a time when these blessings would be realized uninterrupted. And this psalm ultimately looks forward to the messianic age when the Messiah will bring peace to the world. All people will come to worship the Lord, and the earth will yield its abundance under the blessing of God. Until then, every experience of the forgiveness of sin, every experience of peace, and every enjoyment of bounty from the earth serve as harbingers and pledges of the kingdom of our Lord, the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. And for these we praise, and in praising we pray for the promises to be fulfilled. Let us pray for the promises of Messiah, the return of Jesus Christ, to be fulfilled. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen. In response, it's fitting that we lift up our voices and sing. And this song was based on the words of the Bible, just like David wrote, and it captures well the sense of what we've been reading here. So let's stand together, and we'll look up at the screen this time and sing, "Now all things, let all things now living."